I want you to think of the story that we read together. It's a story about a woman, but I have to take you back a little further to the first Easter morning, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Three ladies were on their way to the tomb of Jesus, carrying in their hands a couple of pounds of anointing oil. All three ladies had only one thing in mind, that was anointing Jesus' body, who was crucified 2 days ago. You see, it was a Jewish custom to show the respect by anointing the body of the deceased on the day, very same day of death. It was therefore unthinkable to let the corpse decay without anointment for 2 days. However, when they arrived, the body was not there because Christ was risen. They missed the opportunity of anointing Jesus' body. Now, speaking of anointing the body, there was a lady who actually was able to do, and she had a privilege to do so when Jesus was still alive, exactly a week before he was crucified. Her name was Mary, and the reason why we call Mary a Bethany is because she was coming from the town named Bethany. So in those days, they call Mary of Bethany, okay? So who was Mary of Bethany? Obviously, as I said, she lived in a small village called Bethany near Jerusalem, and she had an older sister whose name was Martha. I'm sure some of you heard of the story of Martha and Mary, Mary and Martha. And Martha was having Jesus as guest, and she was busy cooking in the kitchen and cleaning the house, obviously. But where was Mary, younger sister? She was sitting at the foot of Jesus, listening to Jesus' teaching. So Martha had it all. Come on, Mary, help me. But Martha wouldn't, and just Mary wouldn't do it. So Martha went to Jesus and saying, Master, please tell my sister to come out and help me. And this is what Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you have so many things in your mind. You're busy. But guess what? Mary is not going to lose what she has chosen, to listen to my teaching. Anyway, that Martha and Mary, okay? And they both had a brother whose name was Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So in appreciation of what Jesus has done for the family and for Lazarus, the sisters invited Jesus and his disciples to dinner a week before Christ was crucified. Now that's the background of today's story. So you could imagine if you look inside a house, about 20 dinner guests were present in a very small house. Martha was busy in the kitchen cooking for the guests, and Lazarus was reclining at the table along with Jesus. And Mary, where's Mary? She entered the room with a jar of very expensive perfume, broke it, the top, and emptied the entire bottle onto the feet of Jesus. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, if you think of how could she do it? Now, you don't think that the reclining at the table is not like sitting where at the table. No. Reclining means that using your right elbow, like reclining this, and like 45 degrees, you know, lying on the floor. That's what it is like. And the table is uplifted this much. It wasn't like on the floor either. Okay, so it was easy for her to reach Jesus' feet and wipe his feet with her hair. Now, while this thing was going on in their sight, the disciples, especially Judas from Iscariot, that's the town name, became very indignant and said, why this waste? It could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now, we have no idea how much it was worth, 300 denarii. One denarion in those days, one person's daily wage. Okay? So approximately in today's worth is about $40,000 worth. Okay? It's quite a money. And John the Apostle, looking at all these things, and this is how he explains, do not be fooled with what Judas is saying. He's not actually interested in helping the poor. Rather, he is most interested in pocketing the money from the treasury. And anyway, other disciples complained as well and grumbled about this whole thing, seemingly wasteful incident, and gave Mary a dirty look, nasty look. How dare you could do this, such a thing? And then Jesus intervened, saying, "Leave her alone. She prepared me for my burial, and you folks will have the poor always. Therefore, you can help them anytime and any way you want, but you will not have me always." Jesus was referring to what was coming to him 7 days later, crucifixion. Now, that's the summary of today's story, the story of Mary and the story of serving Jesus. And I believe we can learn three lessons from Mary in regards to the service of God. Number one is that give all you've got to Jesus. Give him until you have nothing more left to give. Now, I'm going to just zero in on two characters in today's story. One Mary, the other one is Judas. First, Mary. To her, Jesus was the Lord and Savior. He was everything to her, and there is nothing more important or valuable than Jesus. And her heart went all the way to Jesus, and so did her love, and so did her dedication to him. Her love of Jesus enabled her to give her best possession, and still wanting to give more. Nothing was a waste when it comes down to Jesus. Look at Judas, however. To him, Jesus was not the first priority in his life. It was, rather, himself was first priority. Looking into his heart, you'll find what mattered to him the most: himself and his own interests. The rest of the world, including Jesus and the poor, comes next. And they all revolved around Judas, and they all existed to serve him. When he said the perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor, his actual motive was not altruistic at all. What he really wanted to do was to steal the money from the treasury and serve himself, as John said. Think this. 6 days later, the same person, Judas, sold Jesus into the hands of the high priests for 30 silver coins. Now look how Judas addressed Jesus and how it revealed his attitude toward Jesus. Now, today's text doesn't show, but there are other couple of places, and according to my research of the Bible, Judas never called Jesus his Savior or Lord. He always called Jesus Rabbi, teacher, from whom he could learn a thing or two. In other words, Jesus was never the Lord to be worshipped or honored above anything else or anybody else. And that's why Judas was upset with Mary's act. And he called it, what a waste. He thought Jesus did not deserve such an expensive perfume to be poured upon. Judas might have thought Jesus deserved maybe a drop or two, but not the entire bottle. Now, when you and I serve Jesus, let's make sure, folks, that he is our Lord and Savior, who sacrificed his own body to save us from our sins. He deserves nothing but the very best we can offer. Nothing is more precious than Jesus, and he deserves the very heart from us. Mary just demonstrated in today's story. She did not give him a scrap, not a leftover, but the heart and the best and all to Jesus. The second lesson is this: Jesus remembers your love and mine and acts of service, and he would reward us accordingly. Now listen carefully here. Jesus said to the disciples in verse 7 that Mary would not lose her reward for what she had done for him. In other words, Jesus says, I'll remember you, what you've done. In a couple of other places in Matthew and Mark, Jesus also said that her story will be remembered and proclaimed wherever the gospel is preached. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says, you take my gospel to all the nations and the peoples in the world, but at the same time, make sure that you preach the story of Mary. the story of love of Jesus. When you and I serve the Lord and people around us, God will remember our deeds of love. Like the perfume permeated every corner of the house of Mary at the time, when we serve the Lord with all our hearts and minds, our act of love and service will permeate every single corner of the church and community. Everyone will say, wow, look at this, all the believers of Christ do. This is great. And people will glorify God's name in the world when they see our dedicated service to the Lord and to people. God will remember and reward us as well. That's God's promise. You know, we launched our new ministry about 10 days ago, Edna mentioned, in Loads of Love. It's a free laundromat ministry. I was there for 2 hours along with other 6 or 7 members of the church. And we counted about 5 families stopped in during that 2-hour period. And one of the mothers, of course, she didn't expect this thing happen. And I saw her with my eyes shouting in excitement, "It is awesome! I cannot believe this is happening to me." You know, when the people glorify the name of the Lord, God says, "Great job, Manahawkin Methodist Church, and I will remember and reward you." And same thing with the Ghana. You know, I'm not prepared to show the pictures today, but as, you know, Regina mentioned, when I saw their, what do you call the monument, a little stone right in front of the pump, water pump, my heart was, you know, so grateful. Lord, I cannot imagine for days and years to come, this village people will benefit from this fresh air from the pump. All to the glory of God. And God will remember that. The last lesson I point out is this. When it comes down to serving the Lord, today is the time. Do not wait until tomorrow, because it may never come. Once again, let's think about Mary. Regarding what she had done, we may think, what's the big deal here? Anyone could do that. Really? To me, it is quite a big deal for her, not only giving up her most cherished possession, but also wiping Jesus' feet with her hair in public. The key phrase, with her hair in public, folks. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. I have to remind you that in those days, for a lady to loosen her hair in public was an unthinkable offense, especially for any respectable Jewish lady to show her entire hair to the public. The only ladies who would do such a thing were prostitutes. But that's exactly what Mary did. You see, she could have reasoned herself thinking, gee, you know, I don't want to show my hair to all these men. I'm going to wait. Imagine this, had she decided to wait for the private moment with Jesus alone, it would have never arrived, would it? Her courage made a difference. So if you think that you will serve the Lord somehow, sometime later, a year or two, it may never come to you, or you may miss the opportunity. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? The time to serve the Lord is right now, today. Do it today. Do not wait, lest you miss the opportunity. Ask yourself today, Lord, you have blessed me with so many things. How can I serve you? Teach me to be like Mary of Bethany. I give my heart and all that I have. Let my life be the fragrance offering that permeates every corner of this world. Help me serve you today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oftentimes, Lord, we look for the people around us. We look for their acknowledgement and praise for whatever we do. And sometimes those things motivate us to do good deeds. But I wonder if how much it would impress you. In fact, Jesus says, do not pray, do not fast to impress people. You just do it for me, and I will see in secret, and I will reward you. Mary of Bethany didn't care what others might have thought of her. She just went in, and she gave all she had. To the point where Jesus says, Mary, I'm truly impressed and I'll remember you and I will reward you. And her story still goes on even today. I'm praying for every one of us today, Lord. I'm sure all of us have heart of Mary. Not just a scrap here and there, but I want to give all I have, my heart, to the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like Mary and serve you with all our heart and mind. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.